E-cigarettes, small battery-powered devices which deliver vaporized nicotine to the user, have become a nearly $2 billion industry, and while their popularity continues to grow, they remain loosely regulated. E-cigarettes were included in the recent New York City law, which raises the minimum age to purchase tobacco products to 21, but the devices are not covered by city regulations that prohibit smoking in public parks and beaches. But then again, proponents of e-cigarettes insist that they are not smoking, but rather vaping. We're joined now by Dr. Richard Hurt, director of the Nicotine Dependence Center at the Mayo Clinic, and by Dr. Deepak Saxena, associate professor of basic science and craniofacial biology at the NYU College of Dentistry. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Saxena, how many puffs can one person get out of an e-cigarette nicotine cartridge? How does it compare to smoking regular cigarettes?
The tobacco companies are marketing a different kind of cartridge. They have light, mild, and bold. And mild and bold can give you around 200 to 300 puffs, which is equivalent to 2 to 3 packs of cigarette.
So one e-cigarette will give you 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes?
Yes, one cartridge of electronic cigarette will give you that much nicotine.
Dr. Hurt, is it possible that people are getting more nicotine from e-cigarettes than they would from smoking regular cigarettes?
Well, probably not. And one of the things we don't understand about these is do they deliver nicotine to the lungs like cigarettes do? To date, we have not really good evidence that that's the case. In fact, most of the nicotine is delivered through the buccal mucosa, the lining of the mouth, and the upper airways, not reaching the outer reaches of the lungs.
They are inhaling, are inhaling them?
They try to inhale, but it's like the nicotine vapor inhaler, the medicinal nicotine product. The vapor itself is not as energized as the tobacco particles are in smoke, and whether or not it gets to the outer reaches of the lung has not been proven. So they try to inhale, but you have to remember that the cigarette is the most efficient drug delivery device that's ever been invented. The particle size and all those things are very specific for getting nicotine to the lungs. And the evidence to date is that the levels of nicotine in the blood of people using e-cigarettes is not nearly as high as it is with smoking cigarettes.
Dr. Saxena, do we know what's in the liquids used in e-cigarette cartridges besides nicotine?
So there is not enough scientific data to show exactly what these companies are adding into it. But FDA did some studies on 2 or 3 cartridges, which they bought it from the market. And they found that there is a compound called polypropylene glycol and other compounds which allow this nicotine to get into a vapor stage.
Isn't diethylene glycol considered dangerous?
Yes, it is considered dangerous, and FDA study shows that some of the cartridge has that compound. So the major concern is that the public is using this product without even knowing what is there inside this cartridge.
So why no Surgeon General's warning on the label?
There is no regulation at this point. It is very loosely regulated, as Dr. Hunt mentioned. And each state is having their own regulation. And they try to regulate it. There is an argument going on. This is like a battery-powered drug delivery system. And then the companies are coming and saying that, no, it is not a drug delivery system. It is just a totally different product. The states want to regulate, the FDA want to regulate this as a tobacco product, but that's not done yet. So this is easily available to a lot of people. And the recent study done by CDC has indicated that the middle school and high school kids are getting access to this. And there are almost like 1.78 million students, those who are already using electronic cigarette in 2012.
Dr. Hurt, nicotine is addictive. Is it toxic?
It can be at very high concentrations, and that's actually one of the concerns about these cartridges and the regulation of them. Some of the juices, and that's loosely using the term of the nicotine solution with propylene glycol, are not as well controlled, and they can contain a fairly high number of milligrams of nicotine. If ingested by an infant or a young person, could be very toxic. the vapor itself is probably not going to deliver levels that are going to be toxic, as I mentioned earlier, because they don't just do not reach the outer reaches of the lung. I'd like to comment, though, on the FDA. The FDA initially wanted to regulate these as drug delivery devices, and that's what they actually are. These are electronic nicotine delivery systems. And when the FDA announced that they wanted to regulate them as a drug delivery device, the companies took them to court, and the court determined that, no, these are actually tobacco products, which they are not. That was upheld on appeal. And then it was referred to the tobacco products section of the Food and Drug Administration, where it currently resides. And there have been no regulations placed out or taken out by the tobacco products group at the FDA as yet. And we're all kind of waiting to see what they're going to say.
Now, when we smoke a cigarette, which I used to do, and I'm very happy I no longer do, what is the worst thing that I'm doing there? Taking in the nicotine, taking in the tars, and all of the other things that come along with it?
Well, first of all, tobacco smoke, regardless whether it's cigars, pipes, or cigarettes, contains over 7,000 chemicals, over 60 known carcinogens. And if it's all of those things that causes the harm. Nicotine by itself is not nearly as harmful as many people think that it is. And the best study for that was the lung health study many years ago, where people used nicotine gum for over a five-year period of time, and we saw no increase in the risk of stroke or heart attack. So for the cigarette and tobacco smoke, it's all the other things in there that causes all of the harm.
But, Dr. Saxena, can't nicotine create epigenetic changes in the user?
Yes, there was a recent study done and published in BMC Medicine indicating the study was done on the rats. And we are trying to also do similar studies at the College of Dentistry with Dr. Shen Lee. The study done by the published in BMC indicated that if the rats were given nicotine dose of nicotine, and there are epigenetic regulations, epigenetic changes, which can pass on to the next generation, and then they will have the same DNA modifications, and that can also pass to the grandchild. And now, so Newsweek did a very nice story about this, and it's called Grandma's Curse. And they talked about specific about nicotine and how it modifies the DNA regulations and DNA methylation. Yes, it can change epigenetic regulations in human.
Now, the FDA has said that it'll issue guidelines on them soon, but what can they do considering the decisions of the courts?
Well, first of all, they need to set some standards for these products. There are hundreds of different companies making these products, and so there's virtually no quality control. There's no control of any part of them. Some look like cigarettes, some look like pipes, some look like hookah pipes. So they're totally unregulated. And one of the things the FDA should do is to mandate that there be no flavorants added to whatever the cartridge is. And also they could regulate how much nicotine can be contained in them. And then also could make a very strong recommendation like Mayor Bloomberg and New York City did to make them not be sold to people under the age of 21. So there are several things the FDA could do. We're all kind of anxiously awaiting to see what they're actually going to do.
When you say flavors have been added, are we talking about chocolate, vanilla, or are we talking about something that would make them taste more like cigarettes?
They're all over the map, and so one of the things that makes it attractive to the young people that your doctor mentioned from the CDC report is that you can add all kinds of cherry flavors, chocolates, mocha, any kind of flavor that you want to add, and that makes it more attractive to the younger people.
Proponents say that they're safer than traditional cigarettes, and they can also be used as an aid to help people quit regular cigarettes. How are they different from nicotine patches or nicotine gums?
Well, first of all, the proponents say they're safer than smoking cigarettes are probably correct. I mean, there are, as I mentioned earlier, there are 7,000 chemicals, over 60 known carcinogens in tobacco smoke, and these things are not tobacco products. They are drug delivery devices. And they have not been shown to be effective in helping people to stop smoking. The largest study to date was published this month in The Lancet, which is a very high-level peer-reviewed journal from the UK, showing no difference between a nicotine-containing e-cigarette compared to a non-nicotine-containing placebo e-cigarette in helping people to stop smoking. And so we don't know yet whether or not they are going to be helpful in that regard. Nicotine patch therapy has been around now for over 20 years, and it's been shown to be effective compared to placebo with odds ratios ranging from 1.5 to 3, which means it could be as up to 3 times as effective as placebo. And until someone does studies with the e-cigarette showing that they're both safe and effective, then they're not going to be utilized to help people stop smoking.
I'm talking with Dr. Richard Hurt, director of the Nicotine Dependence Center at the Mayo Clinic, and Dr. Deepak Saxena, who is associate professor of basic science and craniofacial biology at the NYU College of Dentistry. Well, that's interesting in the light of what has recently been in the New York Times Room for Debate blog. Dr. Saxena, one paper wrote, allowing anti-smoking ideology to dictate e-cig legislation would condemn smokers to using ineffective quitting strategies or dying premature tar-sodden deaths. And then that person adds, but evidence-based regulation that prioritizes public health would cause a revolution in tobacco harm reduction. So is there a lot of misinformation out there?
There is no enough scientific data to say whether they are good or they are bad at this time. The more studies are required, that's for sure. But this, I want to comment something on that, that what FDA can do. FDA has to regulate the advertisement of the cigarettes also. Because I'll give example of my son. He's 8 years old. He sees this advertisement of electronic cigarettes on the street. But he, and it says smoking is cool or vaping is cool, and he doesn't understand. They look exactly like a regular cigarette. And now he thinks that smoking is cool. So that has to be regulated. Now, based upon the New York Times article, people are in both the sides. So what we are looking for, are we looking for moving from one addiction to the next addiction, or we want to get rid of addiction? If people want to just switch to electronic cigarette and still get addicted to nicotine, then it may be a better product. But if you want to get rid of addiction, then maybe this product is not ready yet because it has high amount of nicotine and people will still continue to be addicted to nicotine.
Dr. Hurt, as I mentioned, it's not being called smoking. It's been called, vapping or vaping. Is it fair to say that there's an e-cigarette culture that's developing separately?
Well, there's no question about that. If you just look at the blogs that occur, I mean, they're very passionate and very emotional, and I understand that. But what we need are scientific data that shows two things, that they're safe and effective in helping people to stop smoking. And Dr. Saxena mentioned the advertising that's occurring. They're advertising on television again.
Yes.
And you can't advertise cigarettes on television.
No. And what one of the major manufacturers, the marketing manager for one of the major manufacturers of e-cigarettes says he wants to do is to renormalize smoking and bring smokers in from the cold. And that could, there's nothing worse that we can do to do that, because that would then do what Dr. Saxena said. His son would be confused, but also it becomes more glamorous. And so we've spent the last 30 years or so getting smoking out of inside venues, and to re-bring it back in and to, quote, normalize it would be a bad thing.
A listener, Nick in Brooklyn, asks on our show page, what about the risk of e-cigs to the mouth and throat? He says, I'm an e-cig smoker, and I worry I might be agitating the possibility of mouth, tongue, and throat cancer.
Here, I want to make a comment. We did some studies on this, and we found out that there are a lot of people, those who have never smoked before, they are getting used to now electronic cigarette. And most of the side effects are seen in the oral cavity. And so we just try to see there are good bacteria and the bad bacteria in the mouth. So we just compared the bacterial profile of the oral cavity, and we saw that electronic cigarette is changing and it is getting similar to the regular smoking.
Do you think there are any risks of secondhand e-cigarette vapor?
That nobody has done studies, but I have heard from a lot of people and my friends and myself that it gives you a very nauseating smell and the flavors in the environment. And well, we don't know what is there in the vapor yet.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We don't know if there's any ill effects. There are anecdotal reports of people having asthma attacks after exposure to secondhand vaping, but quite frankly, we don't know if there are any toxic effects to that. Certainly less toxins than would be contained in cigarette or tobacco smoke.
Well, the e-cigarettes are not covered by New York City regulations, which prohibit smoking in public parks or beaches. The other day, a colleague of mine noticed someone vaping while he was online for the bathroom at a Broadway show. So do you think that it's become socially permissible for people to vape indoors? Are we going to start seeing it, or is it already being done in restaurants, bars, and other spaces?
Well, different cities and different places have taken different views on that. In several cities in Minnesota, they have said that e-cigarettes are covered by our smoke-free law, so they're not allowed to be smoked indoors or in places where smoking is not allowed. And as I mentioned earlier, that really does begin to reverse a lot of the progress we've made in the recent past by, quote, renormalizing smoking. And from a regulatory standpoint or from an enforcement standpoint, it's going to be difficult because some e-cigarettes really do look like cigarettes with a LED light on the tip, white paper or white cylinder. And so if you're in a park and you see someone vaping one of these things, how are you going to be the enforcers of this? How are they going to be able to tell the difference between that and a traditional tobacco cigarette? So it really blurs the lines. And I quite frankly think that e-cigarettes should be covered by our smoke-free policies.
How many companies are currently making e-cigarettes?
There are so many, and recently there was a news article saying that one of the major tobacco cigarette-making companies entering into the business. So there are many companies now.
Quite literally hundreds of companies, and every major cigarette manufacturer in the United States now owns a previously privately owned e-cigarette company. And I'd like to say...
Wait, so do they see this as the future of their industry if cigarettes wind up being banned?
I don't think so. I think that actually what the e-cigarette is doing is it's taking our eye off of the ball of the thing that causes the most harm, and that is Camels, Marlboros, Newport, and Kool, and other cigarettes. A cigarette is the only product that you can name that if it's used as recommended by the manufacturer, kills over 60% of the customers. So by us talking about e-cigarettes today, it takes our eye off the real culprit, which are traditional cigarettes, which, by the way, have a profit margin that is astronomical compared to e-cigarettes. So these cigarette companies are still going to make their major profit from manufacturing traditional cigarettes.
Well, cigarettes are very expensive in New York, and yet people continue to smoke. Is it simply because of the addictive qualities of it? Some people don't smoke often, but they still smoke just to be part of a social group.
Well, the cigarette is the most elegant and most efficient drug delivery device that's ever been devised. And so people smoke for the effect of nicotine that's contained in a cigarette. And the high arterial concentrations of nicotine that reach the brain within seconds is what most people smoke for.
Do you want to add to that, Dr. Saxena?
I'll come back to that point about the puffing of the cigarettes. In the regular cigarettes, you light up one cigarette and you finish that cigarette and you throw it and you go back to your office. But with electronic cigarette, there is no control. You can stay outside or in your office and you can keep vaping as long as you have a nicotine in the cartridge. So rather than having a limited amount of nicotine coming from a single cigarette, now you don't have a control. And if this is going to increase day by day with an addiction of nicotine, and people are going to have more and more nicotine toxicity at the end of the day.
And as you point out, younger people are taking up e-cigarettes.
Younger people are, this is a study done by CDC, very surprisingly, and the number has increased drastically by 2 or 3% every year. It is increasing in the middle school and the high school kids, and they have never smoked before. Now, like what you said, this is a cult developing, a group developing.
And we have to thank both of you so much for being on our show, Dr. Deepak Saxena and Dr. Richard Hurt. It's been a scary pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.